If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Our coverage of Commanders training camp, which unofficially wrapped today, is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. You just heard from Terry McLaurin on Grant and Danny. Wide receiver one for Washington. New offense that should be more McLaurin-friendly. And a quarterback who is another year further removed from getting into the league, seeing things, the game slowing down, but also ideally much healthier than he was last year. Could be a monster year for McLaurin. Question we're asking you guys at 800-636-1067 is, what is your expectation? Career year? More of the same from when he was really good for a long time before last year's unfortunate circumstances? Or do you think that, you know, this is a little bit more like last year, where maybe he misses a little bit of time at 31? Maybe he's not playing at that 75 catch, 1,100 or so yard level. How do you see it, Danny?
I think this is his average season. I think he's so
he basically gets back to pre-last year.
Yeah, I think he's him. So what has been kind of a hallmark, it's been good situation, bad situation, mostly bad, worse situation, dire, no other offensive weapons, some offensive weapons, a good week, a bad week. This is what he averages. 80 catches, about 1,090 yards, and 5.5 to 6 touchdowns. The 13 touchdown season is the aberration. Everything else was in line with his normal career averages. He's somewhere in between 12 and 14 yards per catch. This is him. This is who that guy is, which is, again, the ceiling isn't as high as some of the superstars. He's not going to ever put up a Puka Nacua or JSN type season. That's not the litmus test, though. He's also very rarely, when he plays, even last year, as much as the struggle happened, he didn't have a 100-yard game. Even with that, if you do extrapolate his numbers that he put up over a 17-week basis, he was right in line for the regular old Terry season of 80 catches, just over 1,000 yards, and a handful of touchdowns. That's who he is. So now with a different situation, I don't know that automatically his production is going to ramp up. I also don't think, given the situation, anything's going to tamp it down. Even with terrible offensive situations and bad OCs, bad quarterbacks, and everything under the sun, this is what Terry does.
So 7 years here for Terry McLaurin, and seeing what he was over all that time gives me an idea and an indication that he is probably exactly what we think he is. Like, there's enough sample, there's enough time over 7 years where I think that's probably about what he's going to be. I am leaving open the possibility, though, that McLaurin could have his best year, that he could actually have a monster season. It stands to reason that when you're a legitimate, credible starting wide receiver in this league, you're better when someone of your caliber is opposite you, right? Has he ever once had another wide receiver that attracts attention in the way Stephon Diggs does? Never.
No, right?
Has he ever once had another wide receiver that you cannot defend, you cannot double team, you cannot do some of the things to bracket him and cover him in the same way because Diggs is there? Because if you're paying that kind of attention to McLaurin, Diggs is going to eat you alive. I think they could actually come out early in the season too and feature Diggs. And so maybe it's not in September that Terry eats, but as the year goes on, what was the first call for David Blough with that tandem wide receivers, with that starting offense? The first call from David Blough was a choice route for Stephon Diggs that was meant to get him open. He bent it a little bit wide. It took a little too long developing out of a stack, and they end up getting pressured and have to do a throwaway to the running back in Detroit. But the first call was, let's get the ball in Diggs' hand on a choice route, let him win with some footwork. That was the first call, by the way. So I think you could see a lot of Diggs early. I think that's going to take a little bit of pressure and heat off of Terry McLaurin. And I think, could be wrong, but I think the fact that you've got a credible wide receiver too means more man-on-man, one-on-one stuff for McLaurin than we've seen in a long time. If that's true, he's going to win a lot. Because you know he makes contested catches.
Yes, he does.
He just beats guys. So I think that that's something to think about. The other thing is, and this is pass protection dependent, I would say, but is this scheme better for him? Like, I think it is. If you agree with me, then that's a reason he should be better. Is this quarterback play going to be better? Daniels in 24 was electric. Daniels last year, Mariota for much of last year, was not that. But I think Daniels, based on the camp I've seen him have, based on the practices, the joint practice against the Dolphins that I've seen, I actually think he's going to have a really, really good year if they can protect him. So all of that stuff said, why wouldn't Terry be able to go out there and go 80 for like 1150 or 1175?
Those are good cases. I mean, it just he's never struck me as, even when there's nothing else on that offense, the next best, to your point, the next best receiver he's played with is probably Curtis Samuel. No, thank you. To be honest with you, Samuel's fine, but he's more of a gimmick, more of a, you know, ironically, a Deebo Samuel-like player. Where he's right. One part running back, one part, you know, flip it out to him in the flat, slot guy, whatever. So this is the best player he's ever played with at this position. He's never shared a receiving core with a Stephon Diggs. Even Stephon Diggs, at this stage of his career, still infinitely better than anybody else he's ever had opposite him. He's just never struck me as that 150-target, high-volume guy. His career high for catches is 87. He's gone over 80 catches two out of his 8 years in the NFL. Just not who he's been,
but
even with different surroundings.
But does he have to catch 100 balls? Right? I mean,
no, he doesn't have to, but
his 17-game average, okay? So every 17 games, just to break it up into an NFL season,
mm-hmm.
79 catches for 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. If he plays 17 games in his career, 79, 1,100, 7 touchdowns. That's with bad receivers around him. That's with a lot of bad quarterback play and mediocre quarterback play and one really, really good quarterback season. It's not that crazy to say 10 more catches and 100 more yards or 150 more yards.
It's not.
That's not a big bump. That's like one more big game. That's a couple catches and a couple of losses potentially. And now it's 80 for 1,200, and he's having the type of year I'm talking about. I just don't think it's that big of a leap. The question, I guess, would be, does Diggs take a lot of targets away from him, catches away from him, maybe? That's a thing. Also, is there something to be said? Do we think that the pass protection's so bad that it ends up really hurting the passing game down the field, where McLaurin now is averaging fewer yards per catch because they can't run some of the X receiver
right, his air yards per target.
Stuff.
Or is there enough food at the table? In other words, are there enough pass attempts to go around? They want to run the ball and play some defense. Is that take something away, too, from any potential totals?
If Diggs eats and Chig is getting a lot of targets, I think that could definitely be something. Obviously, you need Daniels to stay healthy as well. Let's go to Shane in Fairfax. What kind of year are you anticipating from Terry McLaurin?
Commander Danny, Lieutenant Grant, how you guys?
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Doing today?
Good, buddy.
Hey, look, I'm with you, Lieutenant. I think he has a monster year. I think he's going to catch 100 balls. I think he's going to be like leading the league in, you know, the Triple Crown. I think this is his year. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I think it's his last year here too. I think this is his farewell to here as a commander. I don't think they're going to pay him what they're paying him now as he's getting older. But he's not had, you hit it on the head. Now, it depends on this offense is now, on this offensive line. Now, right now, this offensive line is performing. It's looking like he's only going to catch 10 damn balls all damn year, but let's call it what it is. But look, if the offensive line protects and does what it's supposed to do, Terry's going to have a monster year, and he deserves it. He is one of the best professionals in sports, and he's had nothing but crap around him. Now he's got that tight end. Now he's got a number two, and they can have a good slot, too. I mean, this team, on paper, can put up points. We'll see, but the question mark is still that left tackle, center position, and that O-line already starting.
Appreciate you, buddy. Well, to Shane's point, the cap number next year is almost $40 million. And this was always kind of set up where they could have a, you know, dead cap hit they could spread over a couple years after this season to not really have that kind of, you know, albatross of his deal there. So you're probably right back where you were before last season in terms of, are we getting a new deal done? And we saw how that went for a guy that's over 30. Well, he'll be way over 30 by the time we kind of get to this point.
Yeah, there's also a post-June 1 release number that goes way down for him.
Yep.
Where it looks like 6.5 in dead money or something like that. But that having been said, I think he can determine whether this is the last year or not. I went on record when he got the extension that I thought it was probably a one-year extension, meaning this year, two more years with Washington, and then they have to reassess. And this is still a big storyline, but it depends. I mean, if he only plays in 11 games and deals with injuries and catches 51 balls for, you know, 579 yards or something, then it probably is his last season. If he goes out there in this offense and it fits like a glove and he and Daniels make sweet music and it's an 83 catch, 1,214 yard, 8 touchdown season, and I know at his age that seems unlikely, but he was an older rookie, a little bit less tread on the tires.
Right.
It's not crazy to assume that could happen. Then why not bring him back? And maybe you have to restructure. Perhaps you lower that cap number. You probably should, honestly. And you extend him again or push some money or do a void year to spread out some of the dead money. I know they don't love to do that. But I'd have a really hard time paying him $42 million. I guess the good news is there aren't that many players that are due a whole lot of money from a cap number standpoint going into 2027. Whereas, the cap number for Terry, I think, is actually officially $34 million.
I misspoke. Sorry, I said 39. That's for 27. 34 is next year.
Yeah. $27 million for Adafe Owe is next on that list. But there aren't big cap numbers, really. I mean, I'm looking at Laremy Tunsil, 17. Javon Kinlaw is a huge number, 16.9. That's something you might want to do something with, depending on the year he has. Cosme, believe it or not, is up to $20 million in cap number. But that's, the list. To their credit, I guess, by not making big splashes for a few years, and they're thinking about life when Jaden Daniels gets paid.
Sure.
They don't have a whole lot of huge cap numbers. So they could work with that if they needed to. But he's got to prove himself worthy of that, too. You don't mind paying Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase kind of money.
Oh, yeah.
If he's putting up 75-plus catches. Also, is Diggs back? Now, if Diggs walks, then it's all the more reason that you probably need to pay a receiver because he goes back to being the only guy in the room for that moment. Unless Antonio Williams comes on in a way where you feel like maybe he could take some of that pressure off. But just great to have that interview with him today and some time with him at camp. And I will say, after we chatted, he's just such a good dude. We just sat there and talked for 20 minutes.
Just a couple of pals chewing the fat.
Asking me about my kids and what grade they're in and stuff. He's just a really good human being.
100%.
Easy to root for.
Yeah, he was so awesome to have on the show for that season. I mean, they were 2 in a million. It didn't matter. Just he was so good every week to come on and hang out.
Such a pro.
Yep.
Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports on G&D.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with 2 Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with 2 Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.